And I think I have my voice back, at least it's coming back, for Dr. Richard Friedman. He is professor of clinical psychiatry and director of the psychopharmacology clinic at Weill Cornell Medical Center in New York City, specializing in anxiety and mood disorders. He has expertise in psychiatry, and there is a proposal from a California congressman to have a psychiatrist in the White House, and this obviously is in response to President Trump, who some people are saying is unstable. And in an op-ed piece to the New York Times a few weeks ago, Dr. Friedman wrote a compelling piece about whether this would be a good idea. And let's start there. Is it a prudent way to address any concerns people have about the mental stability of a particular president, Dr. Friedman?
Oh, hi, Jim. Thank you for having me. So, interesting question, interesting proposal. I would say, though it might be well-intended, it's probably not a good idea. And the reason is, I think that the public doesn't really need experts to tell them whether or not, you know, a president or any political figure for that matter is fit to be in office. All they have to do is use their common sense and take a look at the, you know, visible behavior of the individual and his policies. And as for having a psychiatrist in the White House, it's unlikely that if somebody didn't seek out help, having a psychiatrist on the premises would do much, because, you know, you have to want to do something about a problem in order for a psychiatrist to help you.
You noted in your op-ed piece, Dr. Friedman, that a practicing psychologist was quoted in a U.S. News and World Report article saying President Trump has something called malignant narcissism, characterized by grandiosity, sadism, and antisocial behavior. Was that an irresponsible analysis, or did this guy do the right thing?
My view is, whether he does or he doesn't, it would be impossible really to know, you know, as an outsider, you know, looking at him from afar. You could certainly say, and it's well within the realm of any mental health practitioner or expert, to say general things about the president's psychology, but you can't diagnose somebody who you don't actually know and don't treat and who hasn't given you consent. But from my perspective, you could say all kinds of important things about, you know, the president's behavior and whether he's a threat to the nation, just based on what anybody can observe.
And you note that three U.S. presidents, at least three, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Ulysses Grant, were thought to have some mental instability. And, of course, Lincoln is regarded by many as the greatest president ever. Is that necessarily a deal breaker?
Not at all. In fact, and most of your listeners know this, that first of all, mental disorders are very common in the general population. And most people with mental disorders do just fine. They have problems, difficulty in functioning, but they're not bad people. They're not violent. They have difficulties. And mental illness is not by itself a bar to functioning in society or doing really well or even being extraordinary. So, you know, in and of itself, it doesn't tell you a whole lot about the fitness of a person. You could be anxious, you could be depressed, you could have a personality disorder, and you could be highly effective in what you do.
Now, Donald Trump is a person America knew pretty well before he was elected, and part of his persona is that he's extremely confident. He's certainly vocal, and at times he's full of praise for himself. Does that necessarily mean he's a narcissist?
Not by itself, but forgetting about the label, which I think is not all that helpful, you just have to ask yourself, is the confidence that he has in himself founded in fact or not? You know, which is much more important to the average American than, you know, the label from an expert. People want to know, is this person who claims to be able, who knows more than the generals, for example, in Iraq, or who's going to have the greatest program, or do all of these things, are those promises reasonable? Are they based on evidence? Can he deliver the things that he says he will? I would suspect that's much more important to people than the labels that experts might hurl at the president.
877-217-5757 is your number. In Baton Rouge, 297-5633. And talk at talklouisiana.org for Dr. Richard Friedman, who is a psychiatrist of note at Weill Cornell Medical Center in New York City. And he wrote a compelling op-ed piece in the New York Times that was featured in the February 17th edition about a proposal from Congressman Ted Lieu of California, the Democrat, who says he is considering legislation that would require a White House psychiatrist to be in-house. We do have some people waiting to talk with Dr. Friedman. Before we go there, a question from a listener about whether there is any procedure available for people to remove a president if he is too mentally ill to do the job, he or she. Is that in place right now?
Yes. Well, the 25th Amendment to the Constitution provides for the removal of a president in the event of incapacity. Now, it doesn't specify, you know, what the source of the incapacity is, and that came about after Woodrow Wilson, who had a massive stroke and was basically incapacitated. And, you know, it requires, you know, his cabinet to make a decision and to stipulate that the president is incapacitated according to various criteria. It could be medical. I suppose you could make a compelling argument if a president, let's say, had a cognitive impairment and was demented, or somebody whose behavior was so erratic as to render them a threat to the country, you could make an argument they're incapacitated and should be removed.
Dorothy in Opelousas. Good morning, Dorothy. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Richard Friedman.
I don't see how you cannot call Donald Trump's behavior erratic, narcissistic, etc. The evidence is there. I'm a retired BSN-RN psychiatric specialty, and he would belong on my ward from everything I have seen about him. What do you say about that?
Right. Dorothy, I completely agree with your observation, which is this president's behavior is disturbing. And as far as I'm concerned, he can represent a threat to the country, even without all of the diagnostic language that experts would use, meaning he's erratic, he makes promises and statements that are outlandish, he seems to have confidence which is not based on fact, he clearly tells lies constantly. Those are everyday observable facts about the president. And as far as I'm concerned, those behaviors are more than enough for most people to worry about his capacity to function as a president.
And let's go to Jason in near Seguin in Baton Rouge. Good morning, Jason. You're on with Dr. Friedman. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
I'm sorry. I didn't really want to talk to Dr. Freeman. That fella y'all had on earlier.
All right, we'll pass on that one. Let's go to Bubba in Crowley. Bubba, good morning. You're on with Dr. Friedman. Hi, Bubba.
Good morning. How you doing, sir? Mr. Inkstra, I tell you, you got a voice of gold. I wish I could. Anyway, you got a perfect radio voice, but morning to you and the doctor. I just want to say that when people keep trying to, it's kind of like you take it personally when you hear people speak of Donald Trump as having a possible mental issues. To me, to my mind, the genius that Donald Trump tapped into was he just spoke out loud what the average American is thinking quietly inside. And I don't see him having a mental issue. The guy's got an ego. I mean, I get that. And I know he said some things that were off the cuff and they caught him off guard and everything, but the kind of, it's almost like, are we saying that the people that voted for him, do we have mental issues too? Is that kind of like, you know, I mean, if people that are in control of the media or the intelligentsia of this country, we have a serious problem, you know.
All right. Let's get Dr. Friedman to respond. Thank you for your kind words, Bubba.
Thank you, Bubba. So I have a question for Bubba, which is how would you judge President Trump? In other words, what is it that he would do or not do that would make you have confidence in him and think that he's a good president?
All right. I think we've lost Bubba, but I hear what you're saying. He is an erratic man. Some people believe that he is dangerous. Others believe that, look, he's like Bubba, he's a man of the people. I would think that much of America has some neuroses, Dr. Friedman. Maybe that's why he got elected, as he appeared to be genuine.
Well, I mean, having problems is really not an issue. It's what everybody has problems and what you do with them. But as far as I'm concerned, the way to judge a president or a politician is based on their policy and their actions, not necessarily what they say or even how erratic they may behave at times. It's, can they actually do what they say, and are they telling the truth, and are they sincere?
Dale on Essen. Dale on Essen, you're on with Dr. Friedman. Hi, Dale.
Hi. I have a question for Dr. Friedman. I'm curious, is this a Donald Trump issue, or is it a total presidential issue? Because I'd like to understand his psyche analysis of Bill Clinton. You know, this is a man who put his male anatomy in the mouth of a 19-year-old intern. I mean,
all right, that's enough of that. But Bill Clinton, some believe, was unstable as well, and others believe George Bush was. Certainly Richard Nixon. You could go down the list if we had other presidents who might have benefited from some kind of counseling.
Right. But again, what I would say to your caller is, what's the basis on which you judge a politician? You could easily make the case that to be a politician, to run for office, requires certain characteristics that are unusual. You know, you have to have very thick skin. You may even have to have an inflated sense of your own worth in order to get up in front of the country and lead a country. It's certainly not a job most people would want. So, you know, all politicians have skeletons in their closet. They all have engaged in behaviors that most of us would roll our eyes at. It's a fair question to ask. What's the basis on which to judge a president or a politician? And I would say it's basically not on whether we think that they're mentally fit or whether they have personal emotional problems or hang-ups. It's whether they can govern, whether they're competent, and whether we think their policies are good and just.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in with Dr. Richard Friedman of the Weill Cornell Medical Center, professor of psychiatry, who wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times a few weeks ago that has generated much discussion about the stability of U.S. presidents and whether there should be a psychiatrist in the White House. He says no on that one. Ted Lieu, a California Democrat, says it might not be a bad idea. Now, another listener notes that President Kennedy, John Kennedy, he was certainly not a well man physically. He was taking all kinds of meds for Addison's disease and steroids, the like. And as we know, he was chasing a lot of skirts when he was president. What about him? If we're going to point the finger at Donald Trump, should we also look at one of the great icons of our lifetime, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, Dr. Friedman?
Right. Fair question. And again, I would come back to the gold standard, which is not necessarily the personal behavior, which at times could be outlandish. It's whether we think that the president's policy is reasonable, just, and fair. And on that account, I would say, you know, whether you're talking about Lincoln, who had severe depression, or Ulysses Grant, who had various problems, or Kennedy, you would say these were men, these were presidents who were in many ways great presidents.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace, good morning, Phil. You're on the air with Dr. Richard Friedman.
Good morning, gentlemen. I would ask, first of all, I don't think this was a normal election, or that that mainly people calling themselves normal voted for Mr. Trump. My question for you is, did you hear his recitation of what he was doing when those missiles were on their way to Syria? I believe he was having a cake with the chairman of the Chinese representative, or the, you know, did you hear that conversation? How he recounted that? What do you think of that?
Yes, well, that's a very good question, and I think that gets to the question of this man's ability to govern and his temperament. So you're observing something that everybody can see, which is he seems to make decisions without giving much thought to them. For example, I would say if you look at the decision to bomb Syria, of course it's an atrocity, you know, what's going on in Syria, but it's been like that for years. Why suddenly was it necessary to do that? Now, you could argue, you know, it might have been the right thing to do all along, but to suddenly impulsively make the decision to do it without any sort of strategic plan or context in which to unroll this action would seem impulsive and would make me worry about somebody's ability to think and to govern.
877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Dr. Richard Friedman of Cornell University. Yes. Person who specialized for years in psychological disorders. Another listener asked about the Access Hollywood tape when Donald Trump called it locker room talk. Was that locker room talk, or was that something perhaps more dangerous than that?
My view is it's hard to know, but I think it's part of a consistent pattern on the president's behavior, which is to denigrate women and to treat them as objects. And it's an attempt basically to put a spin on it and to rebrand it, which, you know, is understandable in light of the fact that he was seeking office. But, yes, I think it bespeaks something which is not good.
Another listener notes that it's very hard to debate somebody who has an expanded view of themselves. Mr. Trump, according to most observers, didn't do well in the debates with Hillary Clinton, but he did win the election, and he certainly was a new kind of debater than we've seen before. Facts didn't seem to matter as much as personality.
Right. Critical observation, I think, which is that most people who are voting have very strong feelings. And Trump, I think, represented to many people who, you know, have been really harmed by the economy and who have lost their jobs as somebody who, you know, made promises that, you know, would be impossible to keep. For example, he'd get their manufacturing jobs back. He'd bring the coal industry back. All kinds of things which everybody knows are impossible to do because of the nature of the economy. However, he made these promises, which are emotionally really resonant to a lot of people. And whether they're possible or realistic or not is less important than the fact that they resonate emotionally with a lot of people. So you're right. Mm-hmm. Facts don't matter.
Here's another observation from a listener about Mike Pence, the vice president. He seems to be the anti-Trump, not a guy who appears to have a lot of drama in his life.
Yes, he's the foil. He's the opposite in many, many ways, and an unlikely partner. You might argue for somebody who is devoutly religious and conservative, and a strange bedfellow to the president.
Well, Dr. Friedman, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. And I bet you didn't realize your op-ed piece would get this much attention, but it has sparked some conversation in our country.